Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Wednesday afternoon. Plenty of sunshine, about 75 degrees. It's nice. And it's going to be really chilly overnight. No, it really is, like 40 degrees. I'm telling you, it's cold. That's officially cold. Isn't that 40, 45 degrees? I think so. There is a new database, which is available from the Do No Harm medical folks. Medical watchdogs, Do No Harm, first of its kind national database, which is cataloging pediatric sex change services. Yep. Talking about sex change surgeries, sex reassignment surgeries, cross-sex hormones, and puberty blockers at U.S.-based medical facilities. About 14,000 minors underwent sex change treatments. Almost 6,000 minors received sex change surgeries. That's a very polite way of saying that body parts were removed, right? That's what we're talking about. About 63,000 got sex hormones for the opposite sex, as well as puberty blocker hormones. It's insane. I mean, it really is. It's just insane at this point. $120 million submitted to insurance. Oh, well, that's what this is all about. I'm sorry. It is. This is about a money-making operation. It's probably the reason that the whole sex change thing, the sex change surgeries and medications for kids over in the UK and in Scandinavia are now being dialed back, because they're not making money on it. Right? The NHS can't be charging people because they're, at least in theory, free. And since it's now costing them a boatload of money, and they now realize it's not doing anything except injuring children, they've decided to shut it down. Now, that hasn't happened here in the United States, of course. Here in the United States, it seems to be a growth industry because there's so much money to be made. Because insurance companies, unfortunately, are going along with this nonsense. That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. But you have doctors who are willing to trade their Hippocratic oaths for a couple of bucks. Well, anyway, I'll share that with you. Again, it comes from the Do No Harm group, and they've got a new website out there. And I think that it will be very, very, very interesting. All right. Hurricane Milton is the serious, real deal. And it is troubling to me to see someone who wants to be president of the United States, at least in theory she wants to be president of the United States, trying to make political hay out of it. We've got hurting people in the United States of America right now. And this is one of those things that comes into play. If Kamala Harris were really serious when she said, well, I called Ron DeSantis and he wouldn't take my phone call, and I wanted to talk about FEMA and all the rest of this stuff, and Ron DeSantis said, well, number one, she didn't actually call me. Number two, she doesn't have anything to do with FEMA. If she were really serious about that, and I will tell you, I do not think she is a serious person. I don't think she's stupid. I know people keep telling me that, Jeff, she's just so dumb. I don't think she's dumb, but I don't think she's serious. I think you can be really smart and not be serious. So I don't think she's a serious person. If she were a serious person, Wouldn't she be doing something to help the victims of Hurricane Helene and the soon-to-be victims of Hurricane Milton, as opposed to hanging out with Howard Stern and Stephen Colbert? If you were a serious person, you would focus your attention in a different direction. You take a look at how governors in Florida and Virginia are dealing with the devastation that their citizens have seen as a result of Hurricane Helene. I don't know if you follow Governor Youngkin or any of his top-level cabinet members. If you do, then you have seen that they have been to Southwest Virginia time and time and time and time again, trying to help the people who have been impacted by Hurricane Helene. I have, quite frankly, lost count of the number of times that Governor Youngkin and his highest level senior staffers and cabinet members have been down there to Southwest Virginia. They are serious people. I look at Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis and his high-level senior staffers and cabinet members have been dealing with the people who were impacted by Hurricane Helene. Now they've had to turn from repair efforts and helping those who had been struck by Helene. Now they're dealing with this Hurricane Milton bearing down on them. Where is North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper? North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has not been seen in Western North Carolina. He has, by all accounts, been slow walking all of the aid for Western North Carolina. And the consensus seems to be that it's happening because Western North Carolina is conservative and it is Republican and it is a strong base of votes for Donald Trump. How sad is that? Where is Kamala Harris? Well, again, she's with Howard Stern and she's with Stephen Colbert. And she's saying stupid things. And I'm trying to figure out, as 804 asks me here on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, was Kamala Harris more cringeworthy on Howard Stern or on Stephen Colbert? That's a good question. Because they were both pretty cringeworthy. Well, heck, she was actually cringeworthy over on The View. These are all her friends, by the way. These are all people who, for whatever reason, have thrown their lot in with her. They have talked about how much they despise Donald Trump. And they're all on board doing everything possible to boost her campaign, support her campaign, get people to vote for her. And even in those environments, she somehow, some way manages to screw it all up. That takes an incredible amount of effort. Another text here on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, she sounds like a jilted psycho stalker when she says that Ron DeSantis wasn't taking her calls. A little bit. Let me share some of this with you, because I would imagine, because you are a serious person, you have serious things to do, you weren't paying that much attention to it. But take a listen. This is a little bit of Kamala Harris on with Howard Stern, cut number three.
I want to say to the people who support him, what are you not hearing? Are you not hearing that we had a bill to solve this big problem? You're all afraid of this. Understood. We understand that. I hear these interviews with people who are voting in the other direction, and I don't understand. There's no, it's all chaos. It doesn't make any sense to me. Speaking about being a district attorney and a prosecutor, I'm curious about that phase of your life.
Yeah.
So you go to law school,
mm-hmm.
and really it's sort of against all odds. But what's fascinating to me is you get out of law school and you get a job as a prosecutor.
Yeah. In Alameda County, the seat is Oakland, California.
And what is it, what prepares you to go, in other words, at first I assume you go in front of a jury.
Yeah.
And they give you some kind of easy case, I'm hoping, like maybe.
You start with DUIs usually.
DUIs.
Yeah.
Were you a wreck the first time out of law school and you go in front of a real jury, in front of a real judge, and you have to prosecute, even though it's a DUI. What is that moment like for you?
So I started by actually, the first case I actually prosecuted was when I was a certified law clerk. So I won the case. But the great thing about, you know, just pushing people out when they're young, they don't know any better.
You weren't nervous?
I was nervous and I was probably overprepared, but I believed in my case. And, you know, the great thing about being a prosecutor, and I've talked with many prosecutors over the years all over the country, is you only got one job, which is to do the right thing.
Right.
And so you have to believe in your case. And frankly, if you don't believe in your case, you shouldn't be bringing your case, right?
Okay. So what was the case? Like, don't you remember your first blank, whatever it is? Your first major success. I mean, if this, in fact, is her first major success in the DA's office, well, you would think she would say, oh, I prosecuted such and such a case. Now, she tells you start with DUIs. Maybe that's what she meant, that it was a DUI case. But she's also peddling this idea, and we've heard it time and time again. She's like, no, I'm the only prosecutor on this stage. I was prosecuting transnational criminal organizations. No, you weren't. I can guarantee you, sure as I'm sitting here, you absolutely positively were not. You weren't prosecuting them as a district attorney in San Francisco, and you sure as hell were not prosecuting them as an ADA in Alameda County. Now, if you wanted to tell me that you went to work for the U.S. Attorney's Office somewhere, then I would say, well, maybe you were involved in that. Transnational criminal organizations are not getting prosecuted on the local level like that. They're just not. Sorry, facts just really get in the way of your whole narrative. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 422, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The warnings are serious. Let me tell you. When you got the mayor of a city saying, let me do some math for you. You're in a single-story home, a one-story home. Your roof is 12 feet high. The storm surge is going to be 15 feet high. That's not your house anymore. That's your coffin. Ooh, man. You got other folks in Florida saying, if you have not evacuated, look, I guess it's your choice, but would you do us a favor? Find yourself one of those indelible magical markers and please write your name on your arm because we're going to be dealing with your corpse. I mean, that's what that is. If that doesn't hit you, man, I don't know what does. And I know there's some people go, oh, I'm going to ride it out. Oh, I'm having a hurricane party. Well, I want to get to Florida as soon as possible myself. You know that. But even I'm looking at this going, wow, I don't know. And generally speaking, it's not the West Coast. It's not the Gulf Coast of Florida that's dealt with these through the years. Last time that Tampa saw a hurricane the magnitude of Milton was in the 1920s. I think it was 1921 or 1924. And before that, it was back in the 1800s. So they're describing this as a once in, well, some of them have said, what, a once in a 3,000-year storm, which wouldn't make any sense if you had one in 1921. But it's a big storm. It's a big, big storm. And you can't relocate an entire state. So some people have moved inland. Some people have gone over to the East Coast and hoping that it's going to be safe for them. You have to remember something about the state of Florida. People forget this. It's not a very wide state. You know, it's not like Virginia, driving east to west where it's going to take you a bit. You can drive coast to coast in Florida. And you don't have to worry about packing a sandwich.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, So hopefully all of those folks are going to be fine. I mean, I'm still hoping and praying that this thing takes one of those turns. I saw a post earlier today from somebody who lives Southwest Florida and said, don't ask us how we're doing. We're doing fine. And you don't need to ask us how the storm is going to be, because frankly, we don't know till it gets here. That's the thing with these hurricanes. They can take a slight turn this way, a slight turn that way. They might encounter warm air. They might encounter cold air. And the next thing you know, it's not nearly as powerful, which is what we're all hoping for at this point. We'll keep you updated on all of it, I promise you. Mike Dickinson is going to be with us at 5:35. We're going to talk about some of the latest nonsense coming from the Richmond City Council. And tornadoes, yeah, tornadoes are already touching down in Florida. So it is serious, make no mistakes about it. 4:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:34, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I want to let you know that Fox News is proposing a debate between former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania on either October the 24th or October the 27th. Well, let us hope. That it all comes together. I'd love to see it. I really would. I've got a sneaking suspicion that the vice president is going to find herself unavailable on those days. But, I don't know. We'll see. A lot of good stuff going on. Tomorrow, I should tell you, General Keith Kellogg is going to join us. General Kellogg was one of the guys that I was chatting with out at Liberty University, part of the CEO summit that Dave Brat put on, and Dave Brat and Barry Moore from the Better Business Bureau of Central Virginia were kind enough to make sure that I was part of. And General Kellogg, a retired general from the United States Army, national security advisor, the man knows his stuff, let me put it to you that way. And so he's going to join us tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit of it about the threats to America. I mean, they're very serious. Gordon Chang was here yesterday talking about the threats from China, and General Kellogg will be here tomorrow. So I think that's going to be a very interesting discussion. You know, we have chatted many times through the years about the concept that one pill can kill, right? My buddy Chris Gumenez heads up the DEA's Richmond District Office. And they do a great job. Those guys over there on Green Court, man, they're solid. They are just rock solid. I know Governor Youngkin has taken steps to help enhance awareness of the danger of fentanyl. It's an absolute scourge. It is an absolute scourge. And there is an organization. It's called Virginia Fentanyl and Substance Awareness. Carlene Wallanen is the woman who put it all together. And I'm happy to say that Carlene is joining us. Carlene, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so very much. It's so great to be here.
Well, the pleasure is ours, but I want you to share the story. What happened with your daughter that actually motivated you to found the Virginia Fentanyl and Substance Awareness?
Absolutely. So for the past 10 years, we've gone through mental health and substance with my daughter. And this very past Christmas, I almost lost my daughter to fentanyl. So when it hits your front door, it definitely puts a different perspective where you realize this can happen to anyone at any moment, at any time.
You talk about your daughter's history with substance abuse and other issues. So what is it, if you don't mind sharing a little bit more about your daughter? What brought her to that?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think it's really important to know that, you know, this happens to very smart, intelligent kids that, you know, just straight-A student, travel soccer, literally had every college wanting to give her scholarships, UVA. She's going to be a lawyer. And, you know, something happened trauma-related, you know, when she was younger, and it just sparked, you know, marijuana was the gateway. You know, it started with marijuana. And, you know, a lot of us growing up, you know, we thought, oh, marijuana is okay, you know. And so, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, they're just kids, you know. But we really, as parents, have to pay attention to these things because we're not in, you know, the society that we used to be in. You know, smoking marijuana now is now laced with marijuana. We're in different times now. So we need to take this a little bit more seriously because, you know, one thing leads to another. And she started looking for other ways to fulfill a lot of trauma and voids that she was going through deep inside.
Yeah, you're finding that. And the DEA folks have told us about that many, many times, Carlene, that you were finding fentanyl in marijuana, in other pain medications. There's so much of it coming over from China, and it is by design to hurt the nation writ large. So I want to talk about Virginia fentanyl and substance awareness, but if I can, just as a dad, I'm curious to know what's going on with your daughter. Has she been able to work her way through this? Is she still dealing with it?
Yeah, and she was doing very well, you know, and I think it's a journey. You know, it's a lot that they have to work through, and I think it's so important for parents just to know that, you know, it's never too late. They are going to have ups and downs through this journey, and I think that it's important as parents that we also have to work on ourselves through this journey because, yeah, you know, it's a family disease. It's not just those that are going through substance or even kids that, you know, in today's society are just trying things, you know. Kids don't know that they struggle with substance use until they start trying things. And, right, you know, opioids are very hard to come off. So, you know, it's different nowadays. And so I think as parents, we just have to really pay attention more to what our kids are doing and also be more informed to what's happening.
So, not even a year ago, last Christmas, your daughter OD'd on fentanyl. Was she at your home? Did she know she was using fentanyl when that happened?
She did not. And, you know, I think that's what's really important is that parents need to really educate their kids. And I think it's really important, you know, they said that DARE failed the system, meaning, you know, we're in a different society. We can't tell our kids not to use. They will do the opposite. It's kind of like the oppositional defiance disorder. And so what we have to do is say, hey, we know you're a kid. We know there's a potential that you're going to try something, but we need to educate you about test strips. We need to educate you about Narcan. You know, we need to tell you, if you are going to try something, do not do it alone, because that one time, so many parents that have come into our organization, their kids died because they tried a pill, they didn't know it was fentanyl, and they died. And that's what happened to my daughter. She was trying to get a Percocet and had absolutely no clue it was fentanyl, and it happened at my parents' house, and she had passed away on their steps, and luckily she was able to be revived.
It's such a bizarre world we find ourselves living in at this point, Carlene. I have fentanyl in my house. I have fentanyl in my vehicles. I thank God I've never had to use it, and I pray to God I never do. But it would be essential if I ran into somebody. It doesn't have to be a family member. Somebody that may very well have ingested something, and it's the one opportunity. I mean, we now have Narcan available essentially free of charge to anybody that wants it, and I personally urge everybody to have it, whether you've got a kid, yeah, or a friend or nobody you've ever met who's ever used a drug. It doesn't matter. You should have it so that you have the ability to help someone if they need it. Tell me about the growth, though, of the organization. Obviously, this is what spawns it, but who's part of it now, and what are you trying to accomplish in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, so it took off. You know, I knew as parents, and, you know, it's bringing all communities together. Recovery community, parents who have lost kids to fentanyl, parents who are still struggling with kids going through substance, parents who maybe don't have anybody but just wanting to be a part of it. We have so much work to do. And one of the biggest things, you know, I love that First Lady Suzanne Youngkin talks about all the time, and, you know, I work with her very much, is that, you know, we've got to work together. We can't do this alone. It's so important. So this has just taken off in such a magnitude because I knew as a parent I needed to come out. It's very hard. You know, you worry about judgment and stigma, but yeah. I have a duty to bring people together to feel safe that, hey, we are all going through things behind closed doors. We just don't talk about them.
Yep.
We need to come together. We need to really get out there in the community. So many people still don't know about test strips, Narcan, or think that this could possibly happen to them. I actually taught JMU health and PE department recently and learned that it was in the bait pens. They saw kids last year that were falling to the ground that had a vape pen that must have had fentanyl in it for marijuana. And, you know, I taught Chesterfield principals and the nurses. So I think it's just so important. There's so much work to do. And the more and more people that just keep coming in, you know, they want to be a part of this and want to help. So it's just been such a beautiful thing to see that we're all together. We no longer have to fight this fight separately, whether that's at the recovery community, parents, you name it. We're one whole working on this together.
You mentioned Suzanne Yunk and the First Lady. You're absolutely correct. She has been so vocal and visible and powerful and passionate about educating folks on this issue. You talked about the stigma. Man, stigma is, I think the stigma part of this, the stigma part of a lot of stuff, frankly, can result in deaths, right? People go, oh, I don't want to tell anybody about it. We'll just deal with it.
Yep.
And you're taking something that could truly have been the very worst day in your life. I have a feeling it probably was. It could have been worse. And you're turning it into a positive. God bless you for that.
Thank you. And First Lady Suzanne Yunkin just put me on as a sisterhood, as a spotlight. And, you know, we have this golf tournament this weekend. We're so excited about the very first Virginia fentanyl golf tournament. And we've got Chris will be there, the DEA. We've got Commonwealth attorneys. Firefighters are coming to support. Suzanne Yunkin did a video for us to spotlight at the golf tournament. We still have openings, so anybody that wants to come, it's at Hunting Hawk, October the 12th. We have people coming in around 8 for breakfast, and 9 is kickoff, so we still have room for teams. But this is helping us. We've got a lot of work next year to do, and we're just so excited to just really hit the ground running and really get more involved in the schools and giving parents the resources that they need. Because when I went through this, I didn't have resources. There's a lot of resources for people going through recovery for substance, but for parents, I was so lost. And the word "you are alone" is how I felt. And you're not alone. And I am out here with so many other parents and so many other people showing people that, you know, we are not going to have to battle this anymore alone.
Now, this golf tournament, I can't believe you've still got some openings, but heck, you've got some openings. Hunting Hawk, I know, is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful golf course. This is such an amazing opportunity to help. So I know some folks, I'm looking at Gary Hess in particular, but I know some folks who will do anything to go and play golf, any excuse necessary. So somebody's hearing this, Carlene, they're going, oh, I could free up some time. How do they sign up? How do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So we actually have a Facebook page and a website. So if they were to go to our website, www.virginiafentanylandsubstanceawareness.org, or they can actually find us also on Facebook. We even have a Instagram account. But if they go to Facebook, our abbreviation is VFSA. Virginia Fentanyl and Substance Awareness, we just abbreviate it, so they can find us also there and sign up. We have a link that they can just click on and sign up, and we would just love, we're providing breakfast and lunch and many, many goodie bags. We have a putter, you name it. I mean, we're going all out because we just appreciate the support the community's given us to, you know, save our next generation, because nobody's going to do it but us.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, Carlene. Are you giving prizes away to people that are playing or anything like that?
We are. We've got tons of raffles. I mean, I'll tell you, Smitty actually said, dang, you did very good. So for our first one, I will say, I mean, I don't do anything small, just because, you know, I believe in when you work for something so big like this. And it's, you know, been such a passion, you know, you just, I really wanted this to be something to support our golfers, but also thank them for supporting us. So many people have supported us, and I just can't thank them enough, because, you know, it is going to take a village to do this work.
All right. So, Carlene, here's what I want to do, because I am not a golfer, and the last thing you want is me anywhere near a golf course. But I just got personally a gift certificate for Jake's Place for a couple of $100. How about if I sign that over to you and you give it away as a prize? Will that work?
That would be amazing, and I cannot thank you enough. And I am sure our golfers will be so thrilled to you know, say thank you to you guys, too. So we cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much.
No, you don't need that. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to, you just give Jeremy some information. I'll take a picture of it and shoot it over there, and then we'll set it up, and I'll get it actually in your hot little hands, and somebody can bid on it and help out the cause, all right?
Thank you so much, and I truly appreciate you, you know, putting awareness out here on the radio. Thank you for all that you do, too.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you. That is Carlene Wallinen. She is the founder of Virginia Fentanyl and Substance Awareness. An incredible story, and we'll get more details up again. You can look for online, look for on Facebook. October the 12th is the golf tournament. Why not? Go out and play a little golf and help a great cause. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:55, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I know I'm running a little bit behind, but man, that story about Carlene's daughter, does that not hit you close to home? I mean, you just don't know. We'd all like to think, oh, our children are perfect. Anyone and everyone who's a parent knows that their children are not perfect. And you want them to be safe. She was talking about, oppositional behavioral disorder. I think that's called being a teenager. But it's getting more and more dangerous to be a teenager. There's a lot more nasty stuff out there. And I want every kid to grow up and have a good life. I really do. I mean, when push comes to shove, that's what I'm hoping for your children. I hope and pray for my children. I don't agree with every decision. There are a few decisions I'm thinking, really? I'm thinking of Joe, who desperately needs a flipping haircut. God, the kid's hair is like down to his shoulders. It's enough already. But what are you going to do? But I do. I have Narcan. And I have Narcan not because I have any indication that anybody I know is abusing opioids. I have Narcan because I might be in a situation where I'm sitting in at Jake's Place and somebody uses them and needs help. It's just the way it is. It could be anywhere. So I am, I'm going to sign over that gift certificate I got for Jake's. Seriously, I really am. I'm going to donate it to them and hopefully help a few more people out in that way. It is 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.